Hundreds of thousands of federal employees deemed essential during the 2013 government shutdown will be getting a legal notice. They're entitled to join a multi-million dollar lawsuit against the government. To win a settlement, though, you've got to join this class action suit. Heidi Barakowitz is a partner with Mary and Scallet, the law firm that's handling this case. She joins me now to talk about the lawsuit and what it means if you are classified as essential. Heidi, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So give us an overview of this suit. It is a class action suit, correct? And who's asking what of whom?
It is a type of class action under the law that we're suing the federal, the Fair Labor Standards Act. It's referred to as a collective action, and there's an important distinction there. In order for anyone to be part of the case, they have to actually opt into the case, fill out paperwork, and say that they want to be part of the case and want to be eligible to receive damages. So that's an important distinction from a typical class action where everyone is automatically included in the case.
So a class action is like, over the years I've gotten a check for a dollar here or 75 cents here for CDs or something. I had no idea was even going on. That's class action. In this case, opt-in.
Yes, exactly. And that's the next step in the lawsuit. We've agreed the case has been conditionally certified as a collective action. And the court has approved a notice that will be going out to all the affected federal employees who were covered by the FLSA and who are required to work during the shutdown last October. We expect the notice will go out by email in early 2015. Anyone can sign up now. You don't have to wait until you get the notice in the case. There's a website, shutdownlawsuit.com, and anyone can go on and sign up for the case now to ensure that if we recover damages, they'll be included.
All right, so what is it that is the basis of the suit? These people were required to work. The government was shut down. They eventually did get paid. So what is the claim here?
We're alleging a violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act. The Fair Labor Standards Act is a law that was enacted during the Depression to ensure that every employee in this country is paid a minimum wage and time and a half overtime compensation. So during the shutdown, there were a group of essential employees who were required to work. However, they were not compensated on their regularly scheduled payday. That was a violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act because when their payday came and went and they did not get paid all the minimum wage for all the hours they worked or all the overtime compensation, that was a violation of the FLSA because they were not paid on time.
And does that apply to anyone who worked regardless of whether you're hourly or salaried?
Unfortunately, it doesn't apply to everyone, although the distinction is not really whether you're hourly or salaried. There are some employees who are exempt from the FLSA, and those people are people that do not get time and a half overtime under normal circumstances. So doctors, lawyers, high-level managers are exempt from the law under the white-collar exemption. So unfortunately, the case does not apply to them. But all of the line staff, all the people that worked at the Federal Bureau of Prisons, the park police who were at all of the national monuments, the people who were guarding our borders, firefighters at Department of Defense installations, those people are all covered by the FLSA, and they were all required to work during the shutdown.
And how many of these people do you estimate there are in total?
You know, we're not sure about that. We're working with the government right now to get a final total. We know the estimates were that there were 1.3 million people who were deemed essential and required to work during the shutdown. That's a lot of people who were required to work without pay. We don't know how many of those are considered exempt from the FLSA yet, but we're working with the government to get a final number now.
Yeah, because it sounds like there might be a cumbersome process here if, suppose you get another 100,000 people, hey, I'll sign on. What the heck? You know, maybe I'll get some money here. Each one of those would have to be vetted for eligibility here, correct?
Well, as I said, we're working with the government now. The government is ascertaining through each of the agencies that had essential employees who had to work who those employees are. So we're pinpointing them now so that each of those people will get an email notifying them that they are eligible to join the case.
So in other words, if you're eligible, you'll get the email, but if you don't get the email, don't bother to try to join.
Yes, I mean, the system is not perfect. We wouldn't be suing the government if they got everything right.
I suppose that's true, too.
Yes. if someone thinks that they are eligible and they didn't get a notice, they should definitely contact us and we can find out for them.
Okay, but there's a little bit, it's not like you're one of these asbestos suits running off Xeroxes of people that, of names to join a class action. This is something where you really want to get the people who might actually deserve it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, yes, if you work during the shutdown and you're normally entitled to time and a half overtime, and you did not get paid on time, then you are likely someone who is affected by this lawsuit.
We're speaking with Heidi Barakowicz. She's a partner with the law firm Mary and Scallet. And how is it that your law firm ended up being the one to do this?
I historically represent a large number of federal employees. The week before the shutdown, I just happened to be at working on a case at a penitentiary in Atwater, California.
Somebody's got to do it, huh?
Yeah, it's an incredibly dangerous place. An officer was brutally murdered there about 6 years ago, and I don't really know how those employees, have the gumption to walk into work every day as it is. And it was particularly difficult for them, knowing that they weren't going to get paid, and they were still going to have to go into that really dangerous environment. And the inmates were ridiculing them, and it really sort of made it a much more tense environment than it normally is. So I was with them the week before the shutdown, and we talked a lot about, what can be done about this. And an important point for me to make is my clients, the original clients, and I think, we've had thousands of people join the case since we originally filed it. In addition to the money that they're entitled to, we think that they are entitled to recover in the cases, they really want to send the message that there shouldn't be another shutdown. And if there is, you need to make sure that you comply with the law and you pay those employees who you require to work.
And what is the potential benefit to someone if the lawsuit is successful?
If it's successful, the only issue really remaining in the case is whether or not the government is required to pay liquidated damages. And that would be, it's going to be different for every person. It'll be the value of how much minimum wage they weren't paid or how much overtime they weren't paid on time during the shutdown. For example, we have one client who was a firefighter at a Department of Defense installation, and he worked an entire extra 24-hour shift on overtime. So whatever that value of that shift is for him, he's entitled to be paid for it a second time as liquidated damages if we prevail. So the damages will be different on a person-by-person basis. But in addition, to the damages, the monetary relief that people will hopefully recover if we prevail is sending that message that's so important to our clients, that they don't want another shutdown. And certainly you have to pay your employees if you require them to work.
Now, in a suit like this, does the law firm negotiate with the court about what it will get paid?
We have a retainer agreement that we are the original plaintiffs all agreed to, and it's available on our website for anyone who wants to join the case.
But you won't get, if someone gets $500, just for example, they won't get $5 and you'll get $495.
Absolutely not.
Because, you hear about those kind of things, and I don't follow them that closely, but most of the money will go to the employees.
Absolutely. We are taking a reduced contingency fee in this case. And as I said before, our goal is really, it was heart-wrenching for me, clients that I've worked with for 10 years, to see what they went through during the shutdown. The entire 3 weeks that it was going on, we were trying to think of what we could do to help these people.
Yeah, what was it like? What are some of the stories you've heard? What's your sense of what it was actually like, other than working and waiting for the pay? But it sounds like there's a little bit more to the story than simply late payment.
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked that. I live in Washington, D.C., and I don't know if it was like this everywhere else in the country, but I couldn't turn on the news without hearing some lawmaker talk about how federal employees are overpaid and they deserve a cut in salary anyway, as if they deserve to be out of work for 3 weeks without pay. And quite frankly, that was extremely outraging, because we have so many clients who are very negatively affected by the shutdown and not receiving that full paycheck. For example, we have one client who has 3 children, the youngest of which is severely disabled. The father is the sole provider in the family because the mom had quit her job to take care of their disabled child. The father is a kidney transplant recipient. So literally, you know, the night, you know, at midnight when the shutdown happened, he said he had to sit down with his, you know, look at his bank account and figure out which bills do I pay. You know, I can't not get my medicine so that my body doesn't reject my kidney. You know, I have to take care of my children. And they were sort of put in the position of having to scrimp and save and try to get by with less groceries than they normally get. I have another client who needed to go to the doctor, and she couldn't afford a copay. So she literally had to go without medical treatment, even though she had an ongoing medical issue. I really honestly have more stories than I could recount for you of situations where it's through no fault of the employees. They're living paycheck to paycheck. There's a lot of GS4, GS5 level employees out there who don't make a great deal of money, and they are living paycheck to paycheck, especially if something has happened to them, like the family I just told you about, where they're having medical issues and it's depleted their savings, and now all of a sudden they're faced with not receiving that paycheck that they're depending on in order to buy groceries for their children. There were just so many unfortunate, heartbreaking situations out there.
And just briefly, will this be a jury trial or will this be decided by the judge?
This will be decided by the judge. The court that has jurisdiction over this case, the Court of Federal Claims in Washington, D.C., doesn't do jury trials, so it will be a decision by a judge.
And any sense of the timeline on this whole process?
We expect notice to go out in early 2015. As of right now, discovery is scheduled to end at the end of May. After that, we anticipate the filing of motions for summary judgment. And then sometime, hopefully within a few months, the court will rule whether the government is liable to pay liquidated damages.
All right. Heidi Barakowicz is a partner with the law firm Mary and Scallet. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.